Welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. If an ish gets real. You get shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He can play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
What is up? Pizzas? We have a special, is this last minute? Not really last minute. We can do it in advance.
I thought it was going to be a quickie.
Nah. I don't think there's anything quick about our topic.
No.
What we have here is a late night, uncensored, no rules, anything goes conversation between four bros just broing it up all night. We have Aaron Carter.
What's up, everybody?
Marky Taru.
What up?
And David Ng.
Hello.
And basically, we spent the entire night playing video games, but not just any video games. We were playing next generation video games. So we broke out the Xbox One. Mark brought over his PlayStation 4. We ran them head-to-head. For the most part, it was David and Aaron's first experience, right?
With the new systems, yeah.
Yeah, I've never touched one of the controllers before this night. Mm.
And Aaron has some very strong opinions about the controllers.
Well, yeah, I like the features of the PS4. I like the feel of the Xbox One. And the PS4 has two penises on either side of the controller.
As a matter of fact, let's give this thing a little bit of format. I said there was no rules, but I freaking lied. Deal with it.
Always.
So let's go ahead and let's do a breakdown side by side. So the difference between this podcast, if you haven't noticed already, is that we don't get paid, first of all. Aaron, can you back me up on that?
No, we don't get paid.
We are broke, and we're on the underground level. We are not going to lie. Nobody's paying us to say good things.
Well, how underground are we now that we have an affiliate?
They don't pay us. So no, we're underground. No. We can say and do whatever we want.
Yeah.
So that's the thing I'm worried about. I'm always paranoid when I go to IGN or Kotaku. I'm always looking for, like, sponsors on their page.
Well, they all have sponsors, yeah.
And it just seems like sometimes one website is extremely biased towards one company, like just across the board.
Are you referring to any specific website right now?
No, Kotaku.
Wow. I haven't actually seen any of their reviews, Kotaku's reviews. I've only seen IGN so far.
I've seen the Kotaku ones. I never read them, though. I'm kind of more of the, I like to be the reviewer myself, you know. I take the review scores, you know, kind of as a last little thing to into consideration.
David?
I don't really even listen to reviews. I just listen to you guys.
Wow, that's a...
As you should.
Yeah, that's it.
So, David, you need to make sure you buy that Zoo Tycoon. That game
You know, I'm actually
amazing.
I'm kind of thinking about it. When that price drops down to like $10, I'll totally pick that thing up.
Those next-gen elephants.
It'll be...
Son.
If you can't throw fruit at the animals, then I don't want the game at all.
Watch out, PETA.
Yeah, Aaron exactly.
Carter's in the house.
I will throw fruit at animals.
So, what you're going to hear here is just... Four guys, regular Joes, just discussing side by side the two consoles. For two of our guys, I'm an Xbox guy. Mark is a PlayStation. And the other two are pretty close to center, so this should be fun. Let's talk about the controllers first, since we kind of already started there. Aaron, you got to feel and experience both controllers. Which one do you like better and why?
On the feel rating, I'm going to have to go with the Xbox.
So feel just in your hand.
Just in your hand, just right off the cuff. I'm going to say Xbox. I've been that way since Xbox Original, I guess is what we call it. You can't say since the Xbox One. Yeah, since the original Xbox. Not to say that the PS4 is, you know, just horrible in your hands. They try to make the joystick...
You talking about the touchpad sensor?
No. I'm totally messing that up. The little hand, the grips on the side, they made them more formed towards your hand. I do like that the PS4 controller has more features, has a microphone inside of it, touchpad, little IR sensor.
The IR sensor, the accelerometer.
Yeah. I didn't like that bright light on the top.
But how much does that get in your way, really?
It was bothering me. It was enough to like catch my eye and take my attention off the games.
I didn't notice that.
It's the thing I don't notice. But like you know, there's those afterglow controllers, those third party controllers, and those things glow. Those things catch my attention.
I don't
know
any of those either.
I don't ever use them. Well, I had to use one once in Texas playing some Gears of War, and that was just the most obstructing thing while playing that game.
I think I honestly like the PS3 controller better than the PS4 controller. The form factor, the way it feels in the hands.
You know, I like the PS4 better. I'd have to say I like the PS4. It's a little bit bigger, a little bit wider, so it's, you know.
It is wider, but I feel like the control, like the thumb pads aren't as chunky or as beefy. They're a little thin, like.
Both controllers actually felt a little on the.
Actually, you can see, yeah. Yeah,
a little cheaper side.
When you mention it, the Xbox One joysticks too aren't as like beefy and like thick and hard.
Wow, that's exactly how you like it, isn't it,
David? What do you think?
I don't know. I've always felt awkward with a PlayStation controller in my hand. It feels really small, but the Xbox One controller has actually gotten smaller too. So that one's it's going to take me a little while to get used to it.
Mark.
I have to give it up to the PS4. I mean, it's what I've grown up with. That's what I'm used to. My hands contour to it perfectly, so that's what I've just been. It just felt comfortable. I was right at home right as soon as I picked it up.
Yeah, so basically, no matter what, if you have a PlayStation 3 and you buy a PlayStation 4, you're going to feel at home. They didn't change the game to, it's not going to mess with you. And same thing with the Xbox. If you like the Xbox controller, it's going to be a smooth transition.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's how Sony has kept it over the years. And Microsoft has kept it the same suit. I like the grooves are deeper than the Xbox thumbsticks.
Yeah, they didn't feel any like they were going to slip at all.
Yeah, no, added the little, what was it, the four dimples that they had on the 360? Yeah, they got rid of those.
Those would get wore out anyways.
They really would, yeah.
I like the innovations that PlayStation 4 incorporated, though. I do like that they have a touchpad.
That clicks in as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it's basically like a mouse on a laptop.
Yeah.
And the like you said, the little speaker on there was pretty cool. I didn't get to, and actually, when you mentioned, I didn't feel it rumble at all. Does it?
I didn't feel rumbles on anything. Maybe I was
I didn't notice nothing. On either one.
Nothing
rumbled.
Yeah, I didn't recognize it on either.
Huh. Actually, you know, the only game I have, thinking back, that I've played that rumbles is the NBA game.
You know what? Actually, I did have some rumble when I was playing Need for Speed. I remember that. It did rumble when I was playing Need for Speed, when I hit those walls.
We played a lot of games today, people. This is...
Let's go down the list. What do we start off with?
Killer Instinct.
Well, we went back. We started with basketball.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
2K14.
We were playing basketball.
Wow.
Oh.
Where it took how long for your character to actually get put in the game?
I'm doing the career mode, which is realistic because like, I didn't realize you could update your stats. So I was playing through like the first couple games with like a level 60 character.
And they benched him.
They benched me for like two straight games. And then one of the starting point guards came and punked me in the locker room.
Wow.
That was really fun to watch, by the way.
See, I missed all that. I didn't get here on time. Yeah,
that's what happens when you're not on time.
Wow.
So then we started there. I dominated.
You dominated against the computer. played the computer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then we started Killer Instinct.
Yes.
Tournament of Champions.
Then we started Killer Instinct. So follow us at Video Game Bang. And,
on Twitter.
on Twitter.
We were live tweeting the
yeah, we were. Instinct. We were.
I should have live tweeted when it was 5-0.
You
should have. 5 straight. I really should have.
So basically, what were impressions of Killer Instinct? It's a fighter.
I'm not a fighter fan, like, by any stretch of the imagination. Because after I've seen everybody's moves, I'm just over it. And I'll probably say that in the future when other fighting
games. And there's only 6 fighters, it's a straight up button masher.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It is a definite button masher. But
that's
the
just
crown.
The way I always treat fighters, though.
The crown does it does weigh me down.
Aaron did win the original tournament only to get destroyed by Mark.
Only
like
to come back
games.
Again. And
so it sounds like we need to have another rematch.
Saberwolf them.
That Saberwolf is Saberwolfed ridiculously
the crap
fast
out of him.
Takes his stats are just ridiculous.
He is crazy. He is a beast.
It's free.
Quite literally.
If you have the Xbox One, go download it. It's free. You get one character, and it's like $4
for an extra character. You get one character.
You only get Jago for free. Only reason I bought all the other characters.
But
I bought
like,
the, or
who
I
are you fighting?
Copy.
Is it just Jago versus Jago?
Well,
the
when
whole
you play
thing?
The arc,
no.
you go into the campaign thing, and then you get to play through.
Yeah, you can fight against other people and kind of get a feel for what they look like, but you can't actually play them until you buy them.
That's
yeah.
still dumb.
So me. Then, if you go online, I'm sure it'll be just be Jago and Jago.
A whole
time.
Bunch of Jagos everywhere.
Well,
jagging off. That's terrible.
Well, no soundboard today, people.
They had they did have the silver limited edition Xbox Live year cards, and those came with the full KI on them.
Oh, okay.
So when you bought that special $60 year card for Live, so same price, but came with the KI, and you got an extra color palette for Jago. It was like a shadow Jago or something like that.
But that's still just six characters.
Yeah,
though,
it's still
like.
Only six characters.
Man.
So yeah, you know, it's not something I can get behind with the fighter. You know, overall, it felt solid. The mechanics were good. The particle effects, we can all agree,
were everywhere.
Blinding. The special effects on the combo breakers were...
Combo breaker!
The announcer, I like that they
announcer
kept the original announcer from all the other Killer Instincts. I like that.
So, but, you know, they had some good chains breaking into, you know, this low, medium, heavy punches going back into low
but
to
did
those
it,
combos.
But did it, okay, let's go back one game. Were you here to see the basketball at all?
Very little. I saw him.
Did it seem or look like next gen?
I'd say, you know, maybe
marginally
better, marginally next gen, or you know, 2K15 on 360 next year.
Okay,
you know,
Gondo. Did it look like?
I mean, maybe a little bit better than the normal. I don't know. Not that great.
And since you played sports games before, right? You played the other 2Ks.
The only thing that sucks is that I haven't owned a 2K since 08.
Well, then you can't really compare. 2K8. Yeah, that's a couple
of iterations. Okay. My cousin came over with 2K12.
And does it look like a?
It looks like Mark said, marginally.
Okay. So now we moved on to the next one. This is a whole game that hasn't been out since what?
64
exactly.
Yeah.
Killer Instinct.
Marginally better than the 64.
I think the 64 version was using like clay animation.
Yeah.
Like that. But like, does
Clay
it,
Fighter needs to make a comeback.
When you put in that Killer Instinct game, do you feel next gen?
Honestly,
no.
I didn't. I felt like that could have been right at home on the 360.
So we're two down. What was the next game we went to?
Well, hold on. Let's see. Killer Instinct. Let's go around. For people who are considering getting it, let's give it a number rating out of 10 and what character 10. You would buy. If you're going to buy one character, Aaron.
Oh, Saberwolf.
Saberwolf.
Hands down.
And out of 10, what do you give it?
I give it a 4.
A 4.
Sorry. Yeah,
man.
4.
You don't have to apologize to me.
I'm a little bit more experienced in the fighting scene, so I'd give it a 7. And I'd have to give it up to my girl Orchid, because that's who I was kicking butt with. She's a...
Until she got brutally...
Yeah, Saberwolf stats. She got wolfed on.
David.
I don't know. I mean, it's a fighter. I'm not really into fighters, but it was entertaining. I'll go ahead and give it a 5. And then the character I liked was that spider lady. I don't remember her name.
Astrid? No.
I don't know. I'd give it to the spider lady, too. I'd really give it to that spider lady.
Wow.
Yeah,
come on now.
You would give it to her.
She'd catch you.
I love you, honey.
She's got the web for you.
I'd say based off the free and getting one character as out the box, I'd probably give it a... I don't know. It's hard for me to rate a free game.
I know what you're going to give it.
What?
You're going to give it a 5.
I was going to give it a 5.
Yeah.
It's a 5. It's not quite next gen.
It's
not quite next gen enough. But it's
not.
Free, and it's definitely you know, worth showing your friends and playing around
the
on.
The free character, though, is my least favorite of them.
I liked Jago. He was all right. I'd say he's in
the,
my top three.
The you know, generic Ryu
yeah,
Ken
he
character.
Is.
He's got the Shoryuken, the fireballs.
He
the
was kind of like the poster guy next with him and actually Orchid. Mm. Yeah, those two, I think, were like the poster kids of the series.
After that, we moved on to Need for Speed.
Did we go to Need for Speed? I think we did go to... No, I feel like we played something before Need for Speed. No, we did FIFA. We went to FIFA next.
We did go to FIFA.
Okay, on the PS4, we played FIFA. And that was
Aaron,
that was really fun. It was fun.
FIFA, but again... I mean, I loved it. Yeah, there's cars driving outside the arena whenever they did little over camera shots,
little things.
Yeah, little small things, but it felt like FIFA. What 15? What are we 14 on the Xbox 360.
Really? Really? I thought the field and everything. I mean, I probably have the least experience here with FIFA other than David, because I don't think he
I've
does.
I've never touched
FIFA. He's never, yeah.
But it I mean, showed. Just from playing, you know, I played FIFA 13 or whatnot on the Xbox, mm-hmm. and, you know, just the crowd, the overall, just the overall look of it.
I played that game, FIFA 13, like mm-hmm. almost every day. For a whole
okay.
year.
And so 14 on PS4 really is just a little bit
it's
better.
It's just a little okay. bit better. Right. I mean, the feeling of the characters and the, like, some of the animations are definitely different.
Okay.
I did notice that too, Aaron. Like, they showed, like, my character didn't slide around as much.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like they tightened up a couple of things.
Felt like they're really, I feel like gravity really applied to the characters yeah. in this one.
But graphically. No.
I mean, half the time you're so zoomed out because you're watching the whole field, you can't tell.
That's true. I mean, and it's always going to be like that with the FIFA games. The yeah. camera's going to be back, unless you're playing, like, I guess the your career mode type of deal.
Well, okay, and Aaron, you know me from FIFA 13. Uh-huh. I was not the best scorer. Like, I maybe scored 4 goals in our uh-huh. in our division online, our career. And even though I was playing against probably the worst player known to man,
oh, wow.
David Ng.
I'll take that one.
I scored twice in one game.
Yeah,
that never happens.
Yeah, you did. Well, you have the basics down of where you need to be.
But the point is, like, even in FIFA 13 and I have no defenders, I can't make shots that were that beautiful. Like, it feels like they tightened the game down to be almost easier.
And that may very well be the case. Like, I mean,
I never scored one header ever.
Auto aim.
I think we played, like me, I played 2 halves. So I played about 1 full game, uh-huh. you know, and I scored, I guess, twice out of each one. I mean, out of everything. But it still felt like, yeah,
it felt a little more gratifying when I scored, though.
How did the one of the big things I know they talked about pushing was the ball physics. How are the ball physics, Aaron, compared to the other ones?
It
Aaron.
Seemed the same thing. Yeah. Like, yeah, it. They've stopped where the ball is not stuck on the player's foot since, like, 97, you know. So I don't know how much more ball physics they can get going, but it looked good.
I mean, think ball physics is going to be the name of this podcast.
Wow.
Since the last time it was jiggle physics and it got us so many views, we're going to get the lady gamers in here with ball physics.
But it just didn't scream out next gen to me yet. Not with that. Maybe 2017?
Aaron, out of 10, what do you give FIFA 14?
I give it a 9 because I'm a FIFA fan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm going to leave that one. 9.
Okay.
I'm going to give that one a 6 because oh, wow. I still don't understand all the rules of soccer.
He clearly didn't. As many times as he kicked the ball.
Slide tackle.
Yeah.
I think David is probably the majority in this one since he's never played a FIFA. And he's an American, so he rarely watches soccer.
He's the majority for an American.
So what was the... Was it fun?
I mean, it was fun just because I was playing with you guys and we were all laughing about it. But I mean, like... I didn't feel like
you.
I was. Yeah, I know you guys are laughing at me. I was trying to laugh along, so I didn't feel too bad. Thanks, guys.
Hid the tears behind
We're
the
gonna
laughter.
Break this thing down real quick and turn it into a self help for David.
What's your rating then? What did you give it?
I'm gonna give it a 3 because I mean, I
oh my gosh.
I mean, it's a. It seems like it's a good game, and if I cared anything for soccer, I would probably recommend it. But I don't know anything about soccer. I don't know any of the rules. Don't really care.
Okay. All right.
So let's break this down. So Aaron, who's a fond love of soccer and plays a lot, is given a 9. Mm. David, who has no experience, is given it a 3. I'm kind of in the middle with the, what I say, a 6?
Yeah, you said 6.
I said a 6.
So 3, Louis 6, 9.
Down the middle. So, that's right, 3, 6,
so that
nine,
means Corey gives it a 12. So, all right.
So
game
Corey,
is amazing.
Corey, you're kind of in the middle. You have a little bit. You've played at some soccer. You've played some FIFA. You're familiar with the sport.
Scored...
And
yeah,
4
goals.
I had a lot of fun. I'd say it was better than 13 for sure.
Okay.
So I'd put it up in the 7.5 range.
So okay. Then
I'd only play it with friends though. I can't sit down and play a soccer game by myself.
Oh, we'll see. Yeah,
yeah.
That's
you're not
where we
sit
differ.
Through and go play career mode by yourself yeah. and do
I
it.
Play a career mode till 30-30.
Yeah, I can do that in basketball because I love the sport and I know the players like you know the players in soccer,
mm-hmm.
but. So moving right along into Need for Speed. We played Need for Speed on the PS4.
What is it called? Need for Speed what?
Rivals.
Rivals.
Rival
okay.
Pursuits. Hot Pursuits, yeah, Hot Rivals.
It's all the same now.
Yeah. Sucked.
Well, I mean...
It was pretty.
You have to give a reason. You can't just like throw
sucked.
That out there.
Yeah,
here's
sucked.
The major reason.
Hey.
When you turn the game on, you have to sit through half an hour
of
tutorial cutscene.
Those not being skippable was a big thing.
Huge mistake. Because especially coming off of just playing FIFA, where as soon as you press start, they throw you right into a game. No menus, no nothing.
Yeah, they didn't even give you an option
team.
Nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Usually, I like when the games, when you turn them on, they're like, hey, have you played this before? If so, we're going to give you tutorials. If, you know, state your comfortability.
The Need for Speed was just like, hey, you've never played a game before.
Hi, this is a video game.
Let me show you what to do for the
right
next
trigger.
Half an hour.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that there are probably some interesting mechanics that are going on with the... being a racer and then the cops trying to chase them down, but I feel like the tutorial was a little strong.
I think they could have done it while you're driving.
Yeah.
Like, just...
And the interesting mechanics of a cop chasing a person has been done 400 times before in Need for Speed.
If what we were doing, like, the racers, it looks like you can buy new vehicles and then you have to go and store them at places and, like, duck the cops at different places and things like
all
that.
All been done before. Need for Speed
Underground. In Need for Speed.
In Need for Speed series,
like, all of them.
It's not even the first open world Need for Speed.
Yeah, nothing. There wasn't anything groundbreaking for it so far. I mean, we only played it for, 25 minutes?
And 18 of those minutes were
tutorial and cutscenes. I will say the cutscenes looked really good at the beginning. Those were very pretty.
Cutscenes were okay, but as far as gameplay goes, it doesn't have nothing on Forza.
Which we didn't get to play.
Yeah, we didn't get to play.
But I've played Forza, and Forza's way better. But see, that's the thing. I think Need for Speed's biggest mistake. Need for Speed is great as an arcade racer. Forza's like a driving simulator. So I think Need for Speed was trying to straddle the line too much. It wasn't fun in an arcade sense, but it wasn't quite a great simulator. It was just in the middle.
Well, the thing is, two things is, one, I don't think that it's going for the arcade-y style. I don't think it's trying to be a simulator at all. That's just not Need for Speed. It's a street racer. It's what it's right there with Midnight Club. You know, throughout the years, it's that street racing type of racing game. Second, I'm going to defend it a little bit on the tutorials and stuff. We are at the beginning of a new console generation, which is, you know, new birth for a lot of new gamers. There's a lot of people, the PS4 and Xbox One are going to be their first consoles.
Show me those people.
I will square kick
them in the throat.
But you got to think about it, you know. You've got nephews and younger cousins.
Your brother's
been living with you.
Make them skippable.
Yeah.
No, I agree. They should be skippable, but that, you know, I feel like they dumbed it down to that point of those new people first introduction, literally, like, you know, learning how to play a video game, you know, like we said earlier. But I think that might have been part of the driving force. But I'll agree, Forza is probably going to be a better racer. I've seen the reviews around, and Forza reviewed higher than the Need for Speed Rivals. But, you know, it's also got a bigger studio behind it. So
Forza is more catered to those car elitists, connoisseurs.
And even if you're trying to get these new people in, there's a way better way to do tutorials. Drop me in a world where I'm just in a car, just boom, and I don't know anything, right? And then flash a little right trigger symbol on the thing. And then I'll be like, oh, wait, I got to press that. And then, boom, I'm off and racing. Or I'm off and driving. And then flash on the, you know, saying, hey.
This game is taking up way too much of our time. Aaron, give it a number.
Well, it's taking up most of the time because the cutscenes.
Because the tutorials. Yeah, we're turning into the Need for Speed tutorials.
I'm going to give it another 4. And that's being very generous because of the graphics.
I agree.
You know what? I'm taking that back. I give it a 3 because... water kept running
the
down
water
the back.
Down the back.
Oh, that was weird.
Yeah,
exactly.
The roads were wet. There was water running the back.
But
winch,
no rain.
But there was no rain.
So
kind of...
clearly there was a well above our head the whole time.
Just water. Running down the back window the whole...
So, yeah, 3 out of 10.
It's one of those advanced cars. The windshield
wipers on
the back.
We're going to pull Sessler. Aaron gives it a 3.
Yeah.
Out of 10.
It was terrible.
Mark?
I'm going to give it a 6. I liked it. I liked the graphics. It felt really good in the hands. The controls felt tight, so I'm going to give it a 6.
David?
I'm going to go for 5. I mean, it was really pretty, and I think that there will be more customization down the road where you can actually deck out your cars the way you want. And so I think that when you get to that later stage in the game, it'll be a little more fun.
Yeah. 4. I'm kind of in the same. I hated the menus. I just think. I guess if you own a PS4, it's really your only choice for a racer, right?
Until the Gran Turismo.
Gran Turismo 6 is only PS3.
Oh.
They're not even bringing it to PS4.
I'm sorry.
Gran Turismo, yeah.
Yeah, it is going to be pretty much the main racer.
So if you need to have a racer, I guess go get it. But
you don't need to have a racer.
Yeah. It'd almost be worth buying the Xbox One to get Forza if you're that much of a racing fan.
I think the big thing, the big draw for that one is going to be the online play for the Need for Speed. That one's supposed to be really fun online. So that we didn't get a chance to do in the online. We're all single
called
player.
Rivals. So. Yeah.
So
we went on from that to Killzone.
Yeah, Killzone Shadowfall for the PS4.
Again, not next gen to me.
Back to the other one. Did that other game feel next gen?
No.
Okay. So we all agree that Rivals didn't fail too.
I'd say graphic wise, it was definitely next gen for graphics wise.
No.
For
get
so.
Out of here!
I think it was.
Get out of here!
Okay, so driving through the streets and stuff, but when we hit the off road and going through the debris and stuff, that stuff kicking up and everything. No. That
sweating
was,
glasses.
The thing about Aaron and I agree. Sometimes I hate that I agree with Aaron sometimes, but he's right. He has a good point.
It's a natural thing to do.
Race car games peaked in the Nintendo 64.
That's what I'm saying.
Graphically, they've slightly improved. Things reflect a little bit more, but car games seem to be easy. GTA cars look perfect to me. And at the nighttime when you're in a parking lot with the lights and stuff, I'll even go so far as to say Forza is the best. It's the pinnacle of racing cars in video games. And it's, you know.
Hmm.
I think racing games have gotten just about as good as they're going to look.
You said Forza is what you said?
Yeah.
I would probably give the nod graphics-wise to a GT, what is it, Gran Turismo?
Gran Turismo 5.
And the only other thing is because Forza, you show damage, right?
Yeah.
So the models get broken, but GT...
5 did.
It did?
5 added damage to it.
Yeah, because at first it was just, they were just going for photos, photorealistic, and they didn't do damage. But I guess now they do
it.
Yeah,
5
but,
they added it.
But yeah, there's nowhere to go with racing games. We're at the peak.
Into the shooter category, Killzone.
Killzone, yeah, sorry about that.
Shadowfall. It didn't look next gen to me.
Interface was
annoying.
Gosh,
the fact that the when you're going through the options, it's slanted. A, it just already throws you off, and then B, when you're thumbing through to add different things into the map, it rotates, it shuffles the screen. That was irritating.
It looked like you were looking at your TV from a 45 degree angle.
Yeah,
always.
But you're sitting right in front of it, and then the menu buttons on the bottom are perfectly flat.
Oh, see, it was even worse for me because I was already at a 45 degree angle, so I had a whole 90 degree angle right there going. I was like. It's like, Aaron, what does that option say over there? I can't see the reflection.
Terrible menus.
So, but see, the thing is, this is supposed to be their Halo for the PlayStation, right?
I don't want to compare.
No,
it to,
the fans don't want to say that.
No,
but Sony, yes.
The customizations and the options for creating the game modes and stuff, yes, very Halo-esque. The gameplay, though, it's more trying to be like Call of Duty, I'd say. They're stuck
this is going to be our Halo, but Call of Duty makes a lot of money. So what do we do?
Yeah.
Throw the two.
Exactly. It's like, I got peanut butter and I have jelly. Let's put it together with mustard.
The difference is that peanut butter and jelly is awesome. Oh.
You got to let me finish. Yeah. Let's put mustard somewhere in there and that'll taste a little different. But no. And then the graphics. Inside the game. Now, mind you, we only played, the multiplayer?
Played one bot match.
Yeah, we played one bot match. So the graphics may look a little better during the single player.
The campaign.
Yeah, the campaign. But that didn't scream next gen to me.
I was still thrown off the one bot match we played. There was no music in the background.
There was dead silent.
Sound effects were great, but there was no ambience, no, award-winning tracks written for...
Because there's no awards to be won. That's why.
So
they've given up.
We played that one probably the shortest amount of time.
Yeah.
For a good reason. But well, let's go through. Aaron?
After that? Oh, for ranking? That wasn't enough for me to determine.
I can't even
rate it. I guess I wouldn't feel comfortable slapping a number on there.
Because if I had to, I'd be like a one because it just looked like generic shooter number two.
If I was being generic, if I was going to give it a review and be nice, it'd be a four.
Yeah, so, see, that's not, but it's not enough for me to go off of.
I need to, I'll be playing into the single player. So I'll play through single player this week, and I'll have a, I'll have a ranking for the next show.
Review under,
pending review.
Pending review. Yeah, do that one.
Then we went to Call of Duty Ghosts on the Xbox One.
Yep.
It's Call of Duty.
It's Call of Duty. It's
Call of Duty on the Xbox 360, you mean?
It's like they started off with a great concept and like, oh, we'll do perks, but then everything's just so... I just can't differentiate the perk system and how to level up, and it just seems like a giant soup of ideas from the previous ones that they've just... keep building together into a monster.
It's kind of like they're assuming that you've played all the previous ones, because they take the exact same structure they had last time and they put a new twist on it every time. So it's just really convoluted and difficult to jump into.
You know, but I think also we're all getting a little jaded by the shooters just because there's so many of them. Because you remember, Aaron, with, you know, Black Ops and Black Ops 2, and they were releasing those little tidbits and those leaks or whatnot, and we were all over those. We used to talk about those at work every day. It's like, oh, did you see that perk? Did you see that scavenger? Did you see that commando? Yada, 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 et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, so I agree. There's just, they expect you to know everything, so kind of tough to get into. I skipped, you know, most of Black Ops 2, and I skipped Modern Warfare 3, so I'm 2 years behind.
And you haven't missed a beat.
No, I didn't feel like it. I still hopped in the match and did fine.
They haven't changed anything.
So. There was one thing you really liked about it, though. It was the...
the sliding?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad they added that, but that's like one out of, you know, plenty of things they could have added in a first-person shooter. To me, it hasn't evolved enough. It's just slightly changed each time. And it's not like it's slightly changed for the better. It's just slightly.
Is it undergoing the Madden curse where it takes out something, puts something in, takes something out?
No,
because
they haven't really taken out anything too much. It's just they just change little things. It's just as if you're changing your clothes each day. You're the same person, but you're wearing a blue shirt now instead of a green one.
Not me.
So
4 days out of the week, I'm somebody else.
They're just too much of the same. And then we didn't even notice that it was a girl character until the end.
The kill cam at the very end. Stabbed a chick right in the chest.
So it was just like there was no purpose for that, you know. Like I said in the previous show, I'm not going to worry about if it's a girl or a guy while I'm running around shooting them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So.
And the hitboxes are the same. So there's not even smaller hitboxes, so. You know, it's great for those people who, all the girl gamers out there who want their avatar to reflect them. And, you know, other gamers like myself who always makes the female avatars anywhere just for shits and giggles. Mm-hmm. But, you know, yeah, I agree.
And I'm sketchy of the games that are just kind of, you've already seen they've cut and pasted entire scenes from their old games into their new ones. So, and they obviously cut corners in the Xbox One version, making it 720. It just seemed like a port.
It looked just
like the 360 version.
Yeah. The sky looked really nice. The sky was the best graphical thing.
And I've seen comparison videos. Again. Look up comparison videos on YouTube. There's a billion of them of comparing the Xbox 360 and the Xbox One. And yeah, if you put them under a microscope, there's brief little differences, but. For the most
nobody
part,
playing
the
Call
thing.
Of Duty is going to pay attention to those, though. Because they're just going to jump into matchmaking, and they're not going to notice.
Yeah.
They're going to die in the first 5 seconds, and that's all they're going to see.
Yeah. I'd give it a 5.
You're being generous. For the same thing over and over, if whatever the current Mario is right now looked like Mario number 1 with extra tweaks, I'm talking about like graphic-wise and everything, I'd be upset. So I'm going to have to give this a 3.
Yeah, I'm right there with Aaron. I'm giving it a 4 and be a little bit nicer, but
we're just butchering this.
you got to realize people buy consoles for Call of Duty. Yeah. Call of Duty is a system seller, you know. As sad as I am to put that name on Call of Duty as making a system seller, it is what it is. That's what the market
is
right now.
That's the first one they gave a special edition or a bundle package for?
Yeah.
Like PS4 or is this Call of Duty bundle?
Yeah, you're talking about like a custom system?
Not a custom system, but a bundle.
Special edition of the game. Yeah. It's that one and Assassin's Creed are the only two that they did special editions for the next gen. So, but yeah, I'd say a 4.
David?
I'll go ahead and give it a 4. I mean,
yeah, it's nothing different. If you love Call of Duty, go buy it.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. What do we move to?
I think we went to, did we go to Rise next?
Rise, yeah, Rise Son of Rome on the Xbox One. I'm interested. I've played it for a few hours now. I played it last night, and I played it with these guys. What did you guys think?
Graphically, I like it. I like the graphics on there.
Oh, yeah, so I think as of all the launch titles, it's the prettiest Xbox One game.
I don't know if I can say that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the Gondo's Corner. I don't know if I can say that either.
What did you like better?
The Dead Rising.
Dead Rising you thought was better?
Yeah, I kind of like the look of it.
But not the cutscenes were great, but the game in-game footage wasn't as good as Rise.
I'd have to agree with Corey on that. I'd have to say the in-game footage for Rise was a little bit better. It looked, you know, they used the same in-game graphics as for their cinematography portions of it.
Yeah.
Whereas with Dead Rising, they upscaled it a little bit for their cutscenes versus the normal gameplay, and it makes sense. You know, Dead Rising's got so much more going on than Rise had at one
thousands
time.
Thousands of zombies.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Amazing. On one screen, it's pretty. It's a sight to behold.
But Rise, had the benefit of not really changing anything too. Whenever you weren't in a cutscene, and Dead Rising 3. Whenever you got blood or hit somebody, blood splattered on you and so forth. And Rise, if you got cut, you were still as clean as you were when you got into that battle.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah. There was no
so,
character.
So let's focus in on Rise a little bit more. So Rise, we all played it. It looks... We're split on graphics. Gameplay, it took a beating in the reviews. I think they were over-accentuating the... I don't know. It doesn't bother me that the gameplay is repetitive.
It would bother me for a full game. I mean, if I was going to sit down and play like a few hours, it'd be fine. But if I'm going to sit down and play like through the whole storyline of like 6 or 7 hours, I'm going to be kind of annoyed with it.
See, it's a launch title. It is what it is. I'm right there with David where I think the repetitiveness will get there. I can only hope. You know, we only got a small chunk of it tonight. I can only hope that, you know, they introduce new weapon types and stuff. You know, because we got the
Because
we got, like, the spears and stuff that we could toss, and those were cool. You know, I was chucking spears at people point-blank range and just taking them out. That was awesome. But other than that, it was sword and shield, which, you know, that's, you know, it's gladiatorial combat, but they had other stuff back then, too. Give me a flail.
It was...
You're the only guy who's probably the first thing that pops to his head. Give me a flail.
I want a net.
I want a flail of fish.
It was very reminiscent of Assassin's Creed 1, where they have their thing that they wanted to do and say, oh, our game is cool because of this, and then they just reiterate it over and over and over again. And that's how I felt like the game was going to go, even though we only played 10 minutes of it. We still got to see the same fatalities
and
yeah, like over and over again. Yeah. So,
which were good. They did. They were nice. Yeah. They had some really good.
But so was 50 Cent's Bulletproof and his first one. The animations were pretty cool for their kill animations. But once you see it 700 times in a game that's supposed to be, I guess, like 10 hours or plus longer, then you're like, yeah, I'm pretty much done with that.
You can go ahead.
Okay. This game is basically Assassin's Creed without stealth. It's just straight action version of that.
No open world either.
Yeah, it's all straight.
Yeah.
Extremely
linear
gameplay.
Complete linear. Not much variation between the levels. You're just kind of like...
It looked like the same
snowballing
and everything,
the whole,
too.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were playing on the hardest difficulty, so there was a good challenge level to it, so it'll be good for those gluttons of punishment like myself.
The AI was stupid.
AI was terrible, and every AI looked... you know, I've been playing the game for a while, and I didn't notice until Aaron said it, like, we're fighting the same guy over and over again.
Every time the archers dropped in, same two archers.
The
same
fat barbarian guy just kept rolling. I was like, is he dead yet? Because, I mean, or he has the largest twin family in the world. But it's like the same four people over and over again.
Maybe that's why they were able to go balls deep into the character or the graphics.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe they just focused really heavily on the graphics just to try to get that nice next-gen look to impress some people. And then worry about the gameplay and story, apparently, because you didn't even pay attention to the story.
But to be fair, David knows this. I never pay attention to
the
story.
True. But then the other thing that bugged me was that you were 20% done with the game already, and you've only put in like an hour and a half into it.
Yeah, well, I'm so that's a freak not gonna of nature. Be... I'm just really good at video games.
And you put it on the hardest difficulty, too, so you know that game is just bad.
So it's not going to be that long. It's not going to be that rewarding, I think. And then there's not going to be any... there's not going to be much replay, probably.
No.
And the matchmaking
that's
is not going to be there.
That's my goal with this game already. It looks really good. I wanted to play through it, beat it, and then trade it in.
The one thing I will dispel, a lot of people were worried about it being a, you know, just context center. Just hit X now. Just hit, you know, triangle now. Just hit circle now. It's, you know, or A, B, Y, whatever. It's not, you know, there's a lot of that in the executions, but other than that, it's still normal, you know, combat. It's still got that other good combat. So that's one thing that was good.
Aaron, give it a rating.
My favorite number is 4. So let's
go. Wow, you're going to give that one a 4.
Yeah. I don't because we're in a new generation. Repetition like that should not be in the new gen type of deal. I don't care if you are a launch title. You better hold that game back then and then come up with something new. I don't need Assassin's Creed 1 now. We're in the third generation of your, you know, system here. Come on, people. Let's come with it. Let's come with it.
Monkey Taro.
I'm going to give it a 6. It didn't stand out. It was, you know, above average, but wasn't anything special. It's a fun playthrough, but, you know, it's not anything that's going to be staying in the collection.
Gandu.
I'm going to give it a 6 also because it's a very pretty game, and I think it's going to be one of the ones that's going to highlight, especially at launch, the capabilities of the new generation.
Really?
I think that, I mean, graphically, it's very...
That's what the next gen graphics are going to be?
It gives you like a, yeah... You weren't happy with that?
No.
As a launch title?
As a launch title, no. If I think that better, Dead Rising looks better than that...
Well, okay, but what it Rise compared to any other 360 game? Better, right?
What is the best-looking 360 game that you guys can think of?
Because
that's what you're going to put it up against, right?
I'm more interested in your answer to that question.
Did it look better than Last of Us?
No. That's the one thing I will say. It did not look better than Last of Us for PS3.
So if Last of Us on an old gen... quote, fingers in the air, looks better than this new gen, and that's supposed to be our example of what new gen graphics are going to look like?
I don't have a frame of reference. I didn't play Last of Us.
I'll bring that over next time, and I'll show you.
Somebody's
got to
see that.
I've seen that.
Last of Us, and Last of Us looks good. So it's like...
I've just seen Twitch of it, I don't know what the conversion rates... If I'm watching Twitch, am I getting a full...
You're probably losing.
You're getting a little.
Okay, because from what I saw from Jerry's Twitch, it was not as good as...
Probably Jerry's connection.
but
Jerry's... So it's not in black and white?
I understand that it's the launch, and everything in the launch is not gold. I understand that. But there's no way I'm going to call that and be like, oh yeah, this is really showing off what it's going to look like. No. Freaking... To me, L.A. Noire's mouth and stuff like that movement is just a little bit under that. It just looks like they polished that up.
And that's
a
where they put
more.
Their whole budget of that game.
Yeah, and they put their.
I'm gonna agree with the majority here. And I'm fighting for it, but I'd still give it a 6 just because it's good for a playthrough. I'd recommend a playthrough if you can borrow it from your friend and just for 6 hours. And
that is
a rent
$30 game that they're charging double for.
Yeah,
remember that one's a Microsoft first party title, so I don't think that's one of those ones they were just like, okay, we have to put something out, push it.
Not going to be their new franchise.
Oh, no.
No, definitely, by far not. No.
So then we moved into Dead Rising.
Dead Rising. The only reason why I guess I liked it a lot, I mean, like I said, the graphics I did like, but I like the Dead Rising franchise. You know, mindless. Killing zombies with just random weapons, that's always fun to me. So, and they seem like they kept that formula pretty just tight, you know. So,
By far, it's been the one I've been most excited for next gen. I'm a PlayStation guy, but I got an Xbox One because I wanted to play Dead Rising. That was, you know, that was my system seller for me. I think it's going to have the most meat of a launch title for both consoles.
I think that graphically it's very pretty, and then it's awesome that you can walk through this corridor You come out on top of this hill and you look down and there are just hundreds of zombies waiting for you.
A sea of zombies.
Yeah. And you can see them all moving. You can pick them all out and you can look at each of them and we didn't find any duplicates.
We tried really hard to find duplicates.
5 minutes.
Because that was Aaron's mission.
Capcom was, that was their statement. You know, they came out and said, oh, you know, not on screen. You're not going to be able to see two of the same zombies. And yeah, they were.
We got pretty close. There was a green tank top,
yeah,
brown pants versus black, or khakis versus black
and
jeans.
And glasses on his head, you know, oh, that one didn't. They were twins. They just didn't buy the same clothing or something like that.
They just, they took the same formula, put some fancy makeup on it, and then did some, but not only did they do that, they also looked deep and did some things we've always been asking for, like the ability to pick up weapons on the move.
Streamlined, yeah. That's good.
They increased the speed of the gameplay.
So it is a lot
so faster. It's much fluid. And then also things like you don't need to go into a safe room to craft. Your guy just always keeps duct tape in his pocket.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Like, you don't have to reinvent the wheel with some of the good games. You could just, you know,
enhance.
Make it rounder.
There's a closet now, so when you can actually collect the clothing and not have to run back to get
like,
it.
These are simple things that you can add to an already good game. Would I say that it screamed next gen to me? No, not really.
Really?
Really?
Still
really?
Not really.
I see, I don't think there's a game on the Xbox 360 that can, or
any either console. I don't
either
think
console that can generate that many
polygons on screen, that has that much stuff going on
with their own AI.
That much stuff going on at once.
I think this is what we probably should have to figure out. What is you guys' definition of next gen?
Things that the current gen can't do.
So I get an extra couple dozen zombies.
Couple dozen?
Really?
That's all
that
was?
Like, that was like an extra 100 compared to 10.
No, 1,000. There was way more than I'd seen in the other Dead Rising.
Maybe, the car part where you were just plowing over guys?
You were
guys.
Just plowing through zombies.
You killed 200 zombies
and you guys,
just in that sequence.
These things that they were doing, are these zombies that were on screen? Now, there are many, yes, but it's like they're just zombies. They're just standard characters that are walking
in
around.
In a zombie
it's
game.
So how much does a zombie do?
Not much.
All right,
they
then.
Stand around.
So it shouldn't be that difficult to put a not much character on the screen, correct?
Well, the thing is, if you did it on the 360, with the limited power of a 360, that's when you get those frame rate chops.
And the load screens alone.
So then...
There's no load screens.
So what we're talking now is just smoother with more stuff on there and then lower load screens.
No load screens.
No load screens.
Yeah.
That's next gen to you guys?
Next leap to next thing?
And I mean, with the graphics on top of that?
Will you guys go back to each gen leap from 64 to PS2, from PS2 to PS3?
I will admit the graphic. The biggest leap, though, in those ones were the graphics. That was the biggest
leap. And
we
have come to almost photorealistic graphics now.
Yeah, we're at the pinnacle of it.
And
so
when we get there, where else do we go?
Virtual reality.
We got to go someplace else, people. We can't just keep relying on graphics the whole time to be our indicator that this is next gen.
Well, the thing that both consoles are doing, too, is besides the graphics in the game, they moved out to the whole experience of the console itself.
The entertainment stuff, yeah. We didn't even touch that. That, to me, is next gen stuff.
Okay, go ahead. Proceed. Let's wrap up Dead Rising.
Yeah, let's wrap up Dead Rising.
So give it a number.
I'm going to give Dead Rising, since it didn't break any new things and it kept everything good, I'm going to give that one an 8. I like that one. I really like it. And I think playing more, I would probably even like it even more with
especially
the co-op.
When we get some co-op.
So I'm going to give it an 8. Probably an 8.5 in the future once, you know.
I probably got the most time into it. And I saw the crafting I got to do. And I was the combo moves, those were awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm giving it a 9, honestly. That's my big one.
Game of the night?
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
By far.
Game of the night.
For now, I'm going to have to give it a 7, and then I want to see the online multiplayer and then get a little more into the leveling up my character and stuff like that.
8 pops into my head just from what I've played so far, but I think that can slide up with really solid co-op.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we had a ball with part 2.
Yeah.
So,
Is this just a 2-player co-op? Or is that?
Okay. Yeah, it's still just 2 players.
Yeah, I guess. I'll accept that, right?
And I think it's safe to say, like, most 98% of the game playing that our whole group of friends do is online. It was kind of refreshing to come together and play. But in person, it was fun. You know, those, when I did that cross with the header in David's face, and we all just went, oh!
Yeah, there was a couple
moments in Killer Instinct where combo breaker, oh! And we just go nuts.
And we actually used the record.
From the 64 generation. That was it.
And I did pose the question, is, you know, couch co-op done?
I don't think so.
Was it
in any of our games?
Well, that's the thing. There was no split screen on any of the games we played.
I mean, Street Fighter and stuff like that is always
Killer Instinct.
Yeah. And racing games? Did any of the...
Need for Speed didn't do
it? If it was in there, they buried it.
No, it's not. It's not in there at all? No, yeah.
The sports games, we were able to play FIFA on the couch.
Yeah.
And then Killer Instinct,
yeah.
And then we didn't mess around with Rise, but Rise is supposed to have it, if I remember correctly.
Went to the menu looking thing, but we didn't click on
anything. If they did, they buried it. Yeah. That's something that I think it's a phase type of thing. We're in a phase right now where, and phases could last years, where we're just kind of all having more fun. Wow, thanks, Aaron.
Well, that's why I've been sitting here like a statue this whole time. If you haven't noticed, I hadn't been moving for the longest, but when I move.
Aaron likes to leave his microphone.
I think we're going to see a resurgence this generation of couch co-op just because of the fact that they're doing the everybody on your one console gets all your gold or plus features, whether you're PlayStation or Xbox One.
That's pretty cool.
I think that's going to rebirth the couch co-op because they're only requiring that one paid per console generation. I think last console generation Microsoft was really trying to cement themselves.
Or maybe it's for the entertainment stuff.
Or it could be, yeah.
Like if his wife wants to come in and watch on her file or on her profile, she doesn't need to have her own gold account. She can just go right on there and watch Netflix.
That's a good point.
I'm going to have to wait to see if they do that because I feel like what they're kind of building up to right now is more of the Kinect party games where you do the dancing and stuff like that.
I'll bring Just Dance.
We're all
2014
excited for
next
that,
time.
Aren't we?
We'll play that next time. Just Dance 2014.
Screams next gen to me.
So let's go into the console war.
Actual next gen stuff.
What Aaron would classify as next gen because he wasn't satisfied with the games. So we talked about the controllers. Let's recap. I like the Xbox controller better. Aaron, Xbox controller. David, Xbox controller. Yep. But that seems to go because... That's
you
what
just
we
totally skip Martin.
Well, we all know I'm PlayStation. It's all right.
David,
it's all right.
That's what I have controller.
It's all right. I'm the minority
controller.
Here.
That's all that's
it's
in the room.
It's safe to say that's probably a wash. Whatever you had before is probably what you're going to pick.
Yeah, they didn't do any.
I could force myself to learn the PS4.
Yeah, the controllers feel the same pretty much as the last gen. They're both a little bit different, and they added new features, but they're not obtrusive or anything.
Yeah, the PS4 is a conjurer of cheap tricks, as Gandalf would say.
That's a good one, obtrusive. Yeah, I like that one.
Let's go interface.
PS4 was generic, but I don't need, I guess, all the bells and whistles. I just need to get to where I need to get to.
I like the PS4 because it's simpler. You know, like the Xbox is great because it's got everything there, but it's almost a little overwhelming at time. And I haven't spent a lot of time on it yet to pin and customize and everything yet. So maybe it won't be as bad once I actually put some time into it. But I mean, just saying that, I have to put time into my Xbox to organize it and make it look pretty versus my PlayStation just being simple.
But it's kind of customized to
your
own.
If I was Sony,
I'd
be ashamed of myself calling that an interface.
Okay, I had a question, though. We didn't get to do this down there. You have the tablet for Windows, and you can customize the pins and stuff on there, right?
Yes, sir.
Windows
8. Can you take stuff away to where it's smaller?
Yes.
I wonder, can you do the same thing with the 1?
I don't think so.
No? It's always going to have that same number of... Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you could resize and do all sorts of stuff with your updating live tiles on Windows, but it seems like on the Xbox you just get whatever shape
they...
Whatever.
Okay. I just wanted to know
that. I just think the PlayStation... They both really just did like a 2.0 version of their existing ones, because if you've navigated an Xbox, you'll navigate the Xbox One. If you navigate the PS... But Microsoft is an interface company. They have been for the beginning of time. So, of course, they're going to nail that. And they got a cross-platform Metro interface that's been really successful for them. PlayStation is just like a grid to me. It's just up and down and left and right. And you kind of got to scroll through everything. Like, it only has one point of focus throughout the whole interface. So, you like you could see what's ahead if you scroll, but only one thing is prominent. And
No, they had a bunch of them. Like, when we scroll down to my games, you could see all my games from Battlefield, FIFA, Need for Speed, all those
things. Okay, on a few menus, but to get there, you had to go shuffle through. It seemed like you did it fast, but it was like click, click, click.
The more stuff you have.
You need to know the interface a little bit, so you learn the icons.
So it's closely, the interface is like the controllers. If you had the one previous, you're going to
this is my argument.
This is
okay,
what you expect, though, at launch. You expect the interfaces to be very similar, if not almost the same, as what was on the previous
generation.
And evolve
over time.
I mean, remember Xbox to 360, they had the blades. They went from blades to blades. So we'll see some
avatars and everything later on down the road. And I think that same thing will happen.
Microsoft's latest kick in their interfaces has always been getting to things fast.
Yeah.
So... although it looks like there's a lot of information on the screen, you can get to anything super quick with the pins system. And like on their phone, that's always been my thing. Like, my phone is old now, I guess. It's like over a year old. I got the Windows 8 phone. And I could put that thing up to any Samsung Galaxy whose specs are faster than my phone, but I can get to anything quicker. Could we do a quick draw and say, go to Maps, bam, I'm there. Bring up your pictures. Bam. I'm there. Just because they got... Everything's a shortcut. Everything is right where you put it. And like when I go to my mom's phone and she's like, oh, how do I play Candy Crush? I got to figure out, okay, where the hell did she put her apps key? And then I got to go to the apps key. And then I go, okay, now I got a list of 600 apps. Now I got to scroll through the apps to get there. Mm-hmm. There's like four different screens that I got to flip through to get to anything. And with Microsoft, it's just bam. One, two. You're about two steps from anything. And I think they're doing the same thing with the Xbox One. You're just two steps, or now just a voice command.
That's what I was going to say. The voice command, that's the one thing stands it aside from Sony's, is the voice command. Be able to just say that and switch back and forth.
Sony is trying with their voice command. Mm-hmm. They're not that far behind. But as of right now, definitely the X1, it's lightning fast. Like, you were going through all the menus and different options really fast. Mm-hmm. And I love the switch option as well.
Oh, the, what do they call it? Snap?
Snap, yeah, that's just
probably
incredible.
My favorite feature right now.
That's next gen. If that's a taste of next gen, if that's where we're going. When we were playing on the Xbox 360 earlier, me and David, I was like, "Who's gonna watch, you know, the Twitch if everybody's streaming Twitch?" And then he was like, "Well, when you're playing a game, you can have the other Twitch running right next to you, and you're just watching and playing at the same time." Which I don't even know why it didn't occur to me that you can do the same thing.
About when we're playing together?
Yeah, like if we were playing a game, like I'm playing a game and then I wanted to watch an event on Twitch, or I wanted to watch this one guy I like on Twitch, I could pull that up and play that at the same time while I'm playing with you guys, and it's no problem.
Now, I was thinking about like
we need to co-op some Dead Rising and both stream Twitch and have our other screen.
We're watching each other's game.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
You can do that.
So
you
can see exactly what your
partner's doing.
So
that's awesome.
It'll be a little lagged, but
Microsoft, if you're listening to this, you need to come up with an independent volume control for each snap. Though it's kind of frustrating that you're listening to two audio sources at the same time. Maybe it exists, and if you're listening to this, tell me how. Comments?
Yeah, tweet us.
Tweet us.
It's gonna
update. I don't think it exists right now.
I would be surprised.
The voice commands, when they want it to work, they seem to work pretty well.
I think, oh man.
For the TV, it seemed to work perfectly fine when you were switching through channels.
And the Kinect 1 was, they said you can do voice commands, but it was not nowhere near the level of Kinect 2 voice commands.
I never even saw anybody try with a Kinect 1.
It's because no one wanted to. You tried a couple times.
I used them. It wasn't.
I tried a few times, and it would always misunderstand me. It was always non-responsive. But this one, the key thing, and like my uncle, he's kind of like, he's an enthusiastic gamer, but he's not very tech savvy. He hasn't been a gamer for long, so he gets frustrated really fast. And what was frustrating him is he said, my voice commands aren't working. And he kept calling me and asking me why. But you have to say the phrase exactly the way Microsoft
intended. Do they give you a pamphlet?
If you say just Xbox One, right? It's Xbox One is the first command you have to say.
I think you say,
or is it just Xbox?
I think you just say Xbox.
If you say Xbox, it'll bring up, and you just stay there, it'll bring up a cheat menu. It has all the list of there for you.
Yeah, everybody needs to know that.
In the app menu, too, they have a voice tutorial. that walks you through a lot of that stuff. So you got to get those phrases exactly right.
Tutorials again. Let's learn how to talk.
But this is something new.
As opposed to, you've
never played a driving game before?
Like, I don't drive a car
on the
real
Super
life.
Nintendo. I played a driving game. Come on.
Yeah, the voice commands and the new interface. I'm super excited about it for the Xbox One.
Yeah, that's
it's only going to get better.
All that is a small taste of next gen, as opposed to, you know, the last thing. That's a giant leap from one to the other. What did the PS4? Did they have anything new with their shopping or anything like that?
Yeah, the interface. So, you know, any of the games that I had downloaded or installed. Remember, I showed you like Killzone. It had all those game modes that any of the recent game modes.
Yeah, that's the
you
one
played.
That I liked.
That
yeah,
was so really cool.
You know, basically, my last type of game mode I played. You play in Killzone. You can go down there instead of booting up the game and then waiting to get to whatever option you want. You can just click on that option. It'll load the game and take you right to that spot you want to go to. If you want to just jump straight into the lobbies. I don't have Ghost for PS4, so I don't know if Ghost does it. Hopefully they do, because that's, I mean, just a huge oversight if they didn't do that with Ghost. I'll be trying out Battlefield to see if Battlefield does it as well, probably tonight.
So that's up to the developer to put that in there?
I think so. I think it is up to the developer to put that option there. But and then also all the DLC options are right there. So anything extra, those additional stuff, is right underneath those game modes, your options of where to start in the game.
Smart Glass.
Smart Glass was cool. I definitely liked it. It you can pretty much just control your whole 360 with your phone,
or troll your friend.
There's a lot of that.
Weird to me.
We had three smart glasses.
Yeah, we had three smart glasses going at once.
Yeah,
but the weird thing was, Aaron, you didn't even have to log in on the Xbox to get it.
I didn't.
You just opened the Xbox One Smart Glass app, and then it automatically connected to the closest Xbox.
Yeah.
So you were already controlling it.
Yeah, and I wasn't logged in on the system. I hadn't even transferred my gamer tag. I just logged in onto my actual gamer tag.
Were you on
my
Smart
phone.
Glass 2, David?
No, I wasn't.
Okay,
not on
so it was
Xbox
the Surface,
One.
My phone, and Aaron's phone.
Yeah.
We're all running it while two controllers were still running it. So we had a lot of cooks in that kitchen.
And like, you can still, like, if they fix something to where it can individually recognize each device that's on the smart glass, you can do all type of things.
It's lightning
that.
Quick.
Yeah, and it was crazy. There was no lag from me pressing the button on something or swiping to turn a page or something like that. It was actually very, you know, intuitive.
And as an input device for messaging, it doesn't get any better.
See, I didn't get to input, but I've done input with the first smart glass, and it lets me use swipe. So I can
serious?
I can swipe in my
words.
That's
just based on your phone's keyboard.
And that's awesome.
Yeah. So I was sending messages to David through using my Surface's keyboard. Like, it was just like I was just typing a message in an email or something.
Yeah, see, that's next gen again.
I agree.
Something that everybody already has in their pocket. They can come in, hook up with your system without even, you know,
having to do a long sign-in process. Because that's the other thing. It's either let everyone have access or make it super annoying where Aaron's going to have to type in his password. And then
Because now that I've done that for the first time, though, I don't have to sign in anymore. I just hit my smart glass button, and then it'll just hook up. And then it'll ask me, do you want to connect with the nearest console? And then I'll just be like, all right, connect. And then even whenever we were playing Dead Rising, there was some feature that we didn't even get to go into, but it turns your phone or your device into the phone, I guess, that he has in the game.
Yeah, and so, skins your phone.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't even get to play with it or anything like that, but I bet you something, like either you get a mini map or some type of thing.
That's what you're going to be able to use to drop airstrikes. It launches it. When you use Smart Glass Companion, the game recognizes it and gives you its own side campaign that unlocks things specific for the Companion app.
And like that's going to be epic when it comes out with more stuff, like the next Fallout, and that's your Pit Boy right there on your
side.
That's
gonna be so cool.
Good
idea.
There you go. But
you listening?
Like Bethesda. And like, go ahead.
No, I'm just telling them to listen.
And I mean, I think that's another reason why it's gonna bring the couch co-op back this generation, just because if you, and especially if you can, we can integrate signing in from your phone onto that console. I mean, you know, Uno comes out on every freaking downloadable console. We can do Uno right there in the same house now if we don't have a deck of cards. You know, it's the most generic answer or example. But
Aaron's
had
a good one,
on
too,
your,
like Trivial Pursuit or some. Pursuit.
Yeah.
There's those, your buzzers right there.
Mm-hmm. All that type of stuff. That's, you know, that's the brilliance of a second screen right there.
That is next gen, people. You might want to put that down in the book of next year.
And you know what we forgot to do? I brought my Vita for my PS4. I meant to remote play.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to check that out. We'll have to check that out next time.
Well, let's see. One thing we all... It's stupid. This is the dumbest thing about next gen. This is totally not next gen. This is anti-next gen. Is the installing of games.
Yeah.
What the heck?
That is a...
On both systems. I was worried that it was going to be like the curse of the Xbox One. I was thinking, this is ridiculous. But it's the exact same. You need to fully install each game on both. And in the Xbox perspective, unless you buy a digital copy, if you install it from a disc, you need to still spin the disc.
Yeah.
So I can't just switch between games all willy-nilly. I have to still... You know, I have to be a caveman. I have to get up and walk over, hit eject, put a new game in, go back and sit down.
That's going to be...
I mean, this isn't really news to me because I've been doing this for a long time on my 360 because I always install the game I'm playing currently so that it doesn't have to spin and overheat it all the time.
I think the difference now, though, is it's mandatory, right?
Yeah, now it's mandatory. And these are huge files.
And they're, Blu-ray can hold how much again?
I think it's like 30 gigs.
Oh, that's
way too much. Yeah, on a single layer.
It's not like the old days where you buy your game and you get excited, bring it home, pop it in, and play. But now you got to get excited, bring it in, pop it in, and then go watch a movie or go to bed.
Yeah, exactly. Go cook some dinner when Dragon Age Inquisition comes out because you're going to be waiting.
Is there any way that they can possibly make it to where it's... downloading as you play?
That's what it's supposed to be.
Depends on the game, but like Rise, I was able to jump in at 10% and start the campaign.
You think it'll go lower, Nick, for any other game?
Depends on the game, I think.
Well, because NBA 2K, I put it in there, and it got up to like, I don't know, 20%, and then let me just play the demo. It gave me the Heat, and it gave me the Spurs.
Like FIFA.
And then not until 100% did I get anything else. But Rise, I was able just to, at 10%, jump in and start playing the campaign.
And you were good from then on. You didn't have to worry about any other stopping points. So.
I don't know how I feel about that still.
It's kind of lame. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I think the DRM bitches out there.
Wow.
You know who you are.
No, I agree.
Screwed it up for everybody. Because it was going to be like that. You get the disc, you install it once, then you still have the disc, but you know, you're just running it off the console. And then it checks your licensing periodically, once a day or whatever, to make sure you're not giving, you know, a billion copies of the game out on a bunch of consoles.
I mean, the one thing we can say is it's Microsoft who had the DRM. We know it's coming back. We just have
It'll come back.
It's coming back. It's going to wait. They're going to wait 2-3 years, build up the customer base back up like they did with 360, and then they'll start reintroducing.
They're going to have to do some checks and balances, though, because they're not going to just be able to mandate the, you know, the DRM again. They're going to have to do something like Aaron was saying, because Aaron was right. They can... If you lend someone a game, whether you're online, well, no, because there are people out there are tricky. You know, it's the
they're gonna find
it's
a
not
way.
Just oh, the yeah. evilness of companies; yeah. it's the evilness of people too. Because they're going to be. I was thinking, you know, Aaron lends me his game, like we're going to try and steal it. So he has it installed on his. He lets me install it on mine, then I disconnect mine from the internet, and then I just have his game forever. But you know, there's ways that the internal Xbox could monitor whether how long it's had a game. Mm-hmm. You know, it tells time.
Yeah, you'd have to change the internal clock to do stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, but then people would just change the internal clock and reset things or go in there and just screw it. So now they have an Xbox with everybody's games on it, just not connected to the internet. It's just
for right now, it's either have it all or don't.
Yeah, and they wanted to have it all, and the bitch is bitched.
Wow.
You know who you are. Kotaku!
But it's fine until, you know... I still blame the companies. Be smarter, then find a better way. You guys create things that seem impossible, and this is a small problem. Well, it's a huge problem for them, but you guys should be more creative than, you know, the way you did it.
Yeah, it kind of like put a damper on some of the night. Like, we would have had to prep like, I don't know, you know, we just wanted to hang out
a couple hours before everything. Yeah.
That's why I was late. I was like, I better get these installed before I go over those. We're going to just be sitting there like, oh, PS4 sucks. It's worse than I thought.
Yeah, no, it's the same on both. But both suck in that respect. Yeah,
but if it was one or the other, that would have been a huge factor. Mm-hmm. That would have been a huge factor. So overall?
What are we talking?
Both consoles.
Between consoles?
Yeah, if we're going to grade all the games and we're going to grade the controllers. And
oh, my gosh.
Where are we at?
All right, this is the portion of the podcast where me and Mark are going to fight because it's clearly the Xbox One.
Wow.
Based on what I've played, I'm actually going to go with you. I'm going to side
with
you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
there you go. Just because it's Dead Rising, honestly. For me, consoles are made by the games. You know, versus it's the way it's always been, even, you know, back in the Nintendo consoles. Nintendo consoles don't sell software. Software sells their consoles. You know, Nintendo is having trouble in sales. They release a Zelda. You know, that is their tried and true. If, you know, Microsoft, you know, releasing Dead Rising, that's a system seller for me. That's got so much gameplay, so much meat to it, longevity, replayability, co-op. It's everything you want in a game. You know, Sony just, they didn't release anything that had that right off the bat for me. That's, you know, Killzone, you know, it's, you know, great for shooter fans. And I'm a shooter fan. I've played crap out of Call of Duty and Battlefield back in the day, but it's not something that's going to keep me coming back personally. You know, it's the same old, so. I'm going to have to give it to the Xbox. There's a little bit. Their launch lineup was better.
Launch lineup is better for the Xbox. Yeah, I agree there too. But for me, I'm on the other side of looking at new technology and the future of what we're going to get, input devices, interface, and the Xbox One just dominates for me. Cause
Well, Sony's got the same kind of, Sony's got the same like smart glass app type thing. They have their own for the phones and stuff. I just didn't have mine set up yet.
So that's just pretty much then all around.
And then they're going to have their own.
Yeah, and I mean, and like the thing is, and like with Sony, with theirs, you can queue up downloads and stuff like that. Like I can tell my console, like if my console is at home right now, I could sign into it from here, from your Wi-Fi, or even from my 3G, and just say, hey, start downloading, start installing, do all this stuff from here. I don't have to be, you know, in the same room or anything like that to use the features on it. So that's one thing. I think the Sony Smart app is going to be better than the Xbox, but we'll see, you know, when more time comes by.
Aaron?
I think it's pretty much roundhouse. Everybody's Xbox, right? That was the,
yeah, I mean, based on the games we played today, I would absolutely say Xbox.
Yeah. Well, there you have it, people. That was just four bros, as I mentioned, broing it up, talking about some ball physics, talking about some
driving tutorials.
Aaron holding two penises.
Milking cows with the PS4.
Milking cows with the PS4. It was a great night. Yeah. I had fun with you guys. Let's do it again.
Definitely.
Yeah, let me know.
I'll bring the Wii U next time.
I was
going
to say, somebody needs to bring a Wii U.
I'll bring Steve the Wii U. I almost brought it tonight, too, but I was like, that's going to be overkill.
Yeah.
We'd be here for another 3 hours.
We've already been here too long. Let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up, people. Thank you so much for listening. As always, you can catch us on nerdreactor.com under the podcast section, on Twitter at @VideoGameBang, and on our newly revamped Facebook page ran by Laura Rodriguez at facebook.com/VideoGameBang. Thank you guys so much for listening. We love you all, except for you anti-DRM bitches.
That's terrible.
And we will see you on the internet.